from the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs. This is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
And welcome back to another episode of Locked On Chiefs. I am Chris Clark, and I can be found at Chiefs Digest, and he is Ryan Tracy.
Otherwise known as Stevie Jim Bob.
Sure. Yeah, if you want to go with that. Never heard you call that, but I've got a new nickname for you.
You'll be surprised how many people think my name is RGR of all things. So, yeah, you can find that over on YouTube. That's RGR.
Well, my thought of what your name is begins with an A, but it's not good for public radio. So,
no.
Anyway, next subject. Actually, I do want to talk about this a little bit. I never got a chance to say anything about Gunther. Rest in peace and prayers out to his family. Sad situation. Unfortunately, that is, and I hate saying this way, but it's the reality of life. I mean, you get to a certain age and that becomes more of a possibility. And unfortunately, it happened. And, you know, I appreciate all the time he was in Kansas City and what he brought to the team. I thought he was intense and brought a lot of fire to the defense. And that's something that they could really use in this. In the next couple of years going forward, because I think that's something that they've lost, not necessarily since he left, but it did maybe coincide a little bit.
Oh, yeah. I think it's definitely a loss since he left. But, you know, Spags is a pretty fiery guy, too, and I think you're going to get back to that kind of aggressive type A personality that Gunther was, rather than, you know, more of a leader of men, a more controlled, reserved, Bob Sutton that we've seen over the last 5 years.
Boy, Greg Robinson rings a bell as well. Anyway, we don't need to go too far down that rabbit hole. One thing I will say, and this is not really that big a news, and maybe because it's not news, that's why we haven't really talked about it. It's May 15th and the Chiefs have all but one rookie under contract. Less than 3 weeks out.
Yeah, it's a positive sign. Juan Thornhill's the last to fall here. Wednesday is when they made the official announcement. I think it actually happened Tuesday, though.
Yep. From what I saw on his Instagram or from Twitter, it looks like he signed on Tuesday. But yeah, it was official on Wednesday. So.
Well, that's good. It lets you just move forward and get that part out of the way. From what Matt said, he was the highlight of rookie camp. So as they get some of the veterans back here pretty soon and they start to mix and mingle, that's what we're going to be looking for. See if he's one of the guys that can step forward.
Well, and if that's really truly the case, which I'm not trying to say I don't believe Matt, but if that's really truly the case, it begs to differ why it lasted as long as he did, because, you know, he is going to be an impact player at that position for Kansas City. I truly do believe that.
Yeah, I do as well. You know, I heard rumors before the draft of a couple of negatives, not on the physical side, but more of the mental processing type issues. I didn't see it on film, though, myself. So I think it's kind of a mix and match. I think it's a good fit with the team to let him be instinctual. And maybe there are other scouts or other systems that maybe didn't fit him as well. And maybe that's why he fell. But I heard from a number of people that had connections inside the league that where the Chiefs got him was right about maybe 10, 15 spots lower than they expected him to go. So I think the Chiefs got a little bit of a value there.
Always good to get a value. So gotta like that. And you look at, what Thornhill could mean for this defense, especially next to Tyrann Mathieu. That could be a very fun tandem to watch for years. And it's really solidifies one of the biggest areas of weakness last season in the safety position. You know, the real question mark going forward is still going to be CB. At this point, although linebacker has its own questions with the switch. So we'll have to see how that shakes out.
Yeah, from Anthony Hitchens' Twitter account, I think he's feeling fairly good about this change. Little innuendo, nothing dramatic, but I think this is going to see kind of the resurgence of Hitch being able to get back to what he's most comfortable in. And I like that pairing, especially with an aggressive coach like Spagnuolo.
Yeah, no, that's good. And so you look at what Hitch was able to do in Dallas, and that's one I really liked him. I thought he would be a good player here, and it looked like he was just having to think too much or not being asked to just react. He was being asked to diagnose and then react. And sometimes that takes all, you know, in this league, all it takes is a second to get you behind. And at that point, it really hurts you down the field. And that's, I think, what was happening with Hitchens in a lot of cases.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, we talked ad nauseum last season about what appeared to be hesitation, what appeared to be not, they wanted to fill a hole, not attack through it. And I think that's definitely something that we're going to see change.
And it wasn't just him either. I mean, you saw that with Ragland as well.
Yes.
So, you know, interesting to see how that's going to shake out. Also, Wilson is still an unknown quantity. Or quality, I guess, not quantity, quality, I suppose I should say. So we'll see how that shakes out as well. You know, I still wonder if we know who the starting linebackers are, if it's going to shake up before the end of training camp. I mean, we'll see if Gary Johnson's able to make any hay and get anywhere. And obviously there's a couple other guys that are going to be trying to get on the field as well.
Yeah, I agree. And that's a pairing that, man, if you need to go small at linebacker, because you're up in there throwing or, just because you want to run a smaller nickel than maybe they've run last season with Hitch out there, you know, pairing somebody like Gary Johnson and Dorian O'Daniel together at linebackers, plus the safety group that you have, I think you could play a lot of different mixed coverages there and really do yourself some favors.
Yeah, definitely. And that's something you definitely have to take a look into. You know, you look at O'Daniel and I'm really trying to figure out where he's going to fit on this defense. It's going to be interesting to see how they have him, playing this season, because last season, I think he really should have been on the field a little bit more than he was. And, I fully expect that he'll be on the field more than we're expecting right now. Or at least more than it seems like we should expect, considering right now he doesn't seem like he's penciled in as a starter, and I think he plays more than 50% of the snaps.
Yeah, and that's fair, because I think
he's going to force his way on the field is basically where I'm going with that.
Right, and I would agree with you. You know, if maybe not wholeheartedly, but I think they're going to try to ride with the veterans. I just feel that that's kind of what Spags wants to do, but you're a single injury away from any of these three guys, where Dorian's the next guy on there because he can play three downs. Now, I like Ben Neiman, but I'm not 100% that he can be out there three downs. So I think whether it is because he forces a move, I think Reggie's got probably the steepest hill to climb here. And like I've said, I think Reggie Ragland can play downhill well. I just don't know how tailored the defense will be to his particular skill set and playing forward. So if they do have to make a change, you would think it would be Hitch sliding into the middle and O'Daniel going to Will. But whether it's that or the nickel, I agree with you. I think O'Daniel's got to be primed to play a lot of snaps.
Well, and if Ragland finds himself on the outside looking in, I think he's a prime trade candidate. I just don't know that he's going to fit the defense, and I don't think he's going to want to be here if he's not starting. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he's going to accept that he could be a backup this year. And I mean, he's a free agent in 2020, so I can't imagine him wanting to be a backup in 2019, because he's not going to make any money going somewhere else next year.
True. And the team did bring him in to be a leader. They like his leadership skills. I think it comes down to how well do you get along with Spags and Matt House as well? And what's the role? Are they asking you to do something you can't physically do?
Right. And that's my big deal, is I'm not saying that I think he can't fit in this defense, but he doesn't fit this defense like he fit the last one. So the question is can he fit in this defense and be good enough to make your defense better, or is there going to be somebody behind him that's going to be a better option? I mean, is Hitchens really a better option at that position in the middle, and you go Daniel at the will? I don't know. Right now, we're going to have to see how camp shakes out. I understand that they really like Reggie and they like his leadership, but if you're holding back the defense. And the biggest thing, and I will admit, I don't know the ins and outs of Spagnuolo's defense. I would have to go research, but the biggest thing that I think Ragland is going to struggle with the most is dropping into zones to cover the back middle half of the field, or not even the back, but you know, the middle deep part of the field. If he's playing that middle position, he's going to have to be able to do that. He doesn't have the speed for it, in my opinion.
Right. Yeah. They're like a Tampa 2, like 15 yards deep that he's got to get to. Yeah. That's a challenge I don't think that he's going to play well with.
Right.
But we did see him drop into those shallower middle zones and actually come up with a couple of picks last season. No, so,
and I completely agree. Yeah. I completely agree. He can do the shallow zones. It's the deeper stuff that I'm worried about. So we're going to have to wait and see how that shakes out. We do need to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about this defense.
Hope you guys are enjoying today's show. We want to let you know that we're going to be with you every day of the week, all off season long, just like we are during the football season. So make sure you're subscribed. Send your questions to Seth at Real Minnesota Chiefs Fan on Twitter, and check out Ryan's live Q&A sessions Monday nights on the RGR Football channel on YouTube.
All right, Ryan, I'm giving you time for defense. Go right ahead.
Yes, I'll take all of it all day long.
I know you will.
Yeah. I mean, it comes down to this, and in no small part because everybody's talking about and thinking about Gunther this particular week. There are a lot of guys that they have brought in along this front that have to be alphas. I think Frank Clark is. I think that's the way he goes about his business. I don't know about Breland Speaks. I don't feel like Ogba's like that. I don't feel like Okafor's an alpha. But I think Chris Jones is, but they have to find more guys
that can turn into. How many of those alphas do you need?
Eight.
You think you need eight alphas on the defense?
Yes. You need a pack of dogs is what you need. Two ain't going to cut it. And that's my thing is you have to have a pecking order. Of course, there's always an alpha, but you got to have aggressive guys that can pick up the pace across the front. You can't just get by with, say, one guy at each level. And honestly, it's tough to find a linebacker right now that can be an alpha on the defense. So, yeah, I think
Hitch can.
Maybe I haven't seen it. I'd like to see him have gotten into somebody's last year a little bit more if that was the case, but
I think that he was asked to do things he knew he couldn't do. So
yeah,
I think getting back into what he's more comfortable with, I think we'll see that, but maybe you're right. Maybe he isn't, but you know, I don't know anything about this Wilson kid. Maybe he can be one of those guys. I agree with you that Clark is one. I think Chris Jones has the ability to be one, although his temperament really doesn't seem to play well into that role at times. It's going to be very interesting to see if, you know, you get a guy like Kalen Saunders who could be that guy. It's going to be interesting. I think Thornhill should be one.
Colin.
Yeah. I didn't say, yeah, thank you. I did say Kalen. I apologize. Saunders. I apologize. I'm butchering names right now. I think Thornhill will be one. I absolutely know Matthew will be one.
For sure.
You have those two guys, and I think Fuller is going to step up as well this year. But we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, my take on Kendall Fuller is that he's more of a quiet leader, a leader by example. I don't see him being a huge vocal presence. And I think that's something they need on the field at the very least, but in the locker room as well. And I'm going to be very interested to see who kind of emerges along those fronts, because I agree with you about Chris Jones. He can be the leader of this defense with Tyrann Mathieu, but he is kind of a jovial guy, you know, which you need to be able to back off that ultra pressure and intensity at times. But especially along the front, this front that, for better or worse, the Chiefs have decided that they are building from the front backwards, and they want pressure and they want to be stout and they want to be aggressive. And I just got to see, I'm waiting to see who's going to become those other big dogs up there that actually can enforce their will on opposing teams.
I get it. There's a lot of question marks as to where this team is going to go and how it's going to shape out. You really are going to have to wait and see to see how this defense is attacking and how aggressive it is. And that's really what I want to see in training camp, is to get an idea of how aggressive they're going to be, because I do think you can see that at times in camp. So we'll see how that shakes out. But until we actually get the pads on, you're not going to see a bunch of that. I mean, you can see people talking, but talk is talk. Until you actually get into the action, that's when things change.
Yeah, yeah. The first fight at camp, if it's not on day one, then there's an issue. I'm just saying.
You want them going after each other. I get it.
Yeah. You got to be hyped up, because if you're not, then you're not buying in enough, as far as, you know, from my point of view. This is a chance right now for this defense to correct, for the guys that are returning especially, to correct some of the things that we've seen in the past, and a bigger opportunity for even those guys that are new here to step up and create a defense that is not just a complete shadow of the offense, but that can hold their own on their side of the ball and contribute to wins.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. And I think that this defense needs to take a large step forward. So we'll see if that happens this year. They definitely have lot to work on from last year, and this switch to a 4-3 is not going to make it any easier than it would have been already.
You know, and that's the one thing that bothers me. Like, when you go back and you look at the Rams game from last season, the defense scored twice, right? Was it? I mean, they actually, that's the kind of play that I'm talking about, where the defense contributes, not necessarily touchdowns, but turnovers, dominance, some stops, being able to put that kind of thing forward. And balance is not really achievable because of today's rules and that kind of thing. Offenses are always going to be an advantage. But if you can shore that up, and like we've been talking all offseason, get to a middling defense, I think this is a team that has the ability to go a very long way.
I agree. We do need to take another quick break. And when we come back, we're going to actually flip it back over and we're going to talk about the offense a little bit, because while the defense has looked good, I do think that the offense has some building to do as well.
Now you can get Locked On Chiefs on the brand new podcasting app, Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts and Apple Podcasts and Spotify and all the normal places. We're here for you 5 days a week, all off season long, with guests, analysis, film review, athleticism, my draft guide, and all kinds of stuff from The Athletic and Chiefs Digest. Make sure you get subscribed today, and you can do it over on the Himalaya podcasting app.
All right, so now we're getting ready to be going into OTAs, starts next week, right? And you're going to be looking at different things. The QBs took part in National Police Week, and we're out at the police academy, and you saw Mahomes in an 80-pound vest and Chase Litton in a bomb suit. That was kind of funny. Now it's time to get ready to see what you actually have in Litton. With EJ Manuel, which isn't a huge news, but with EJ Manuel retiring, you have to wonder if they're looking at Litton maybe being that number two guy eventually.
Yeah, and I think the whole concept of EJ Manuel was to push Litton a little bit, as I feel like the young guys are as well. I think that they put enough into Litton that they feel like he can fit. I think arm-wise, he's probably the closest to Mahomes that they have on this roster. I'd like to see the new guys too, but I need to see that to believe it. So in terms of not having to change, you know, the target zones that you would go to if Mahomes had to take a series off, because I won't say anything beyond that, Chad Henne is there for his head, not for his arm. And I think the rest of the guys have to continue to push with their arm.
No, I completely agree with you. And I think that Henne will continue to be that guy, but I don't think you can afford to pay that guy when you start paying Mahomes' big contract.
Yeah, that's the problem.
So, you know, and maybe what you do is you have to go and find another QB coach, because maybe you have to go find a more experienced QB coach. I'm not so sure that Mahomes' QB coach will be somebody that they can keep after next year. I think he progressed well, but the problem is that you simply cannot pay all of those players that you want to be able to pay. So with that in mind, you have to consider, okay, well, maybe is there a way that we can go get an off the field option or an off the salary cap option, and QB coach is one way to do that. Maybe you go pay an extra amount of money for another QB coach. There is no limit on that.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is everyone can say, hey, well, Andy's the QB coach. He's the whisperer. Okay, yeah, but he's having one-on-ones with Pat Mahomes. You have to get somebody else in there to develop. And I think, like you said, Kafka's, you know, he's quote-unquote next in line, as we've seen Doug and Nagy, and as they've kind of trotted through the hierarchy out there at One Arrowhead Drive. You know, who's the next guy up? And it's got to be Kafka, right?
Yeah, you would think it has to be Kafka, but at the same time, is he going to be enough to get Mahomes to the next level? And really, when you're talking about having that voice in the room, that's the whole reason you want to have a Chad Henne in the room, is because you want that veteran presence. Well, if you can't afford to pay Chad Henne because you're paying Mahomes $30 million a year, which is going to be reality soon, I think getting an extra QB coach or more of a veteran presence, or going the long lines of a Brad Childress type role, and you give them a different title. However you want to do it, those are things that are outside of the salary cap system that you can use to your benefit at this point.
That's true. And, you know, they have Joe Blamire, who I think is the assistant quarterbacks coach right now. And I think they have faith in him. But like you said, he's still a young coach. I think it was like second season now that he's there. And I think he was a coach for a couple seasons. I think he came from Colorado, if I remember right. But, you know, I'm all for keeping the pipeline full. But you're right. If you're talking about having to have your backup option, your backup QB trained up, can you rely on Kafka and Blair Meyer to do the whole job, or do you need, I wonder if not even, you know, not replacing anybody, but adding, could a third voice help?
Possibly. But again, where are you going to go with that? Because the third voice, I mean, you can only do so much with that. So, and I don't know that you can really do it on the roster and make it make sense financially. Yeah. You know, the problem you're getting into is that you're going to be in a situation where you're paying Mahomes more than Aaron Rodgers is making, and Aaron Rodgers doesn't have to have a veteran presence. I'm not saying Mahomes is going to have one, but I think it's a good idea for him to have one, at least for the next couple of years. I don't know what that presence would look like, but you definitely need a veteran type presence of somebody that's, in my opinion, played QB in this league.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. If playing days are really over, would you bring Chase Daniel in as a coach?
I consider it. I don't think
I certainly would.
Yeah, I don't think that his playing days are over, but I would definitely consider it.
I mean, between all that time with Peyton and Breeze, what he did with Alex, moving on and backing up Trubisky now, I think he's a guy that's got experience working with younger players. And at some point, I don't know what his contract is. I'm just throwing stuff out here, but I know that he has connection to Andy Reid, and Andy Reid trusts him.
Right. And if he is willing to come in here, and I would imagine that with his background, he's going to expect to want to get into coaching at some point.
Yeah, I'm completely with you there.
So in my mind, I think it would be a good fit in that aspect.
Well, someday, maybe not next season, but someday.
Yeah. No, and I don't expect it to be this next season, but it's something that Kansas City needs to be thinking past this next year, because I don't think you can go into 2020 with Chad Henne on this roster if you're paying Mahomes his 25 or 30 million, whatever you end up paying him. So,
yeah, it's a tall order.
Very, very much so.
Okay. Well, anything else we need to cover today?
No, I don't think so. I think that's it for us this week. I don't really have anything. I guess I'll give a shout out, since he's been such a loyal listener to the show. Nate Carnahan is looking for a Chiefs Kingdom flag, and he can't find one. He's in California. His Twitter handle is ncarnahan. It's ncarnahan. If you have a Chiefs Kingdom flag and you would be willing to part with it, please hit him up on Twitter. Just want to throw that out there, since he is such a loyal listener and is asking for help. He's trying to build a man cave, and he needs a Chiefs Kingdom flag in California. So,
long time listener. So help him out if you can.
And we will be back with you tomorrow. Seth will be back with a mailbag, and we will be back on Monday.
All right, everybody, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you then.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.